Often imitated, never duplicated. The one and only B. Scott. You're listening to The B. Scott Show. Get ready, love muffins. That kind of just sums up exactly where I'm at. But that was Alice Smith, and the song was called Another Love. And we are back again with another The B. Scott Podcast with my lovely producer, Brian Vasquez.
Hello, hello.
Hi, hi, hi. yeah, that song was so good. My good friend, Senna, played that for me, and now I am hooked. I was like, I don't know where I've been, but Alice Smith is the truth. So you love muffins out there that listen to this podcast, you need to go to your iTunes, your Spotify, and figure it out. Go and find Alice Smith and listen to the songs. Like, it's so good. It's so, like, she has a very unique way of singing. It's very raw. It's very just like, it kind of, it just sometimes it strikes you in like a different way. And this song hit me because, you know, as you guys know from listening to the podcast, I went through a situation where I felt like, you know, the person that I was talking to didn't necessarily want me. And I tried to be what this person wanted, but it wasn't enough. And so this song is, you know, hit a chord with me because, you know, you can find another love. If I'm not what you want, then find another love, you know. You know, you belong to the streets. Now get in it. My grandmother used to say that. She would say, you know, you see that highway out there? It goes two ways. Now get in it.
Nice.
Oh, so much going on in the world. Love muffins. It's so nice to come here and talk to you guys about the state of affairs in this country. Right now, it's just like coronavirus is back. This bitch. Coronavirus is such a bitch, and she just won't leave. She's like, actually, I'm back, and back in a big, big way. They were saying something to the effect, I think it's North Dakota or South Dakota, that 1 out of 1,000 residents have died of coronavirus.
Jesus.
And that's quite significant. Here in Los Angeles, the numbers are spiking as well. The mayor said that, you know, we need to stay home if at all possible. And if we see people on the street, we should just automatically assume that they are infectious.
Great.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, I mean, I to a certain extent, I feel that that's what we should have been doing anyway. And I also feel that we should have just had the whole country should have set their asses down for 4 to 6 weeks so we can have some sense of normalcy. And we can still do that right now, and we can have a Christmas and a New Year's. But the way that it's going is like, you know, we're just going to be in this state of constantly living in fear. Mm-hmm. For example, I had a good friend come out here at the last minute, you know, and she hit me up and she was like, you know, I did a thing. And I was like, you did a what kind of thing? She was like, I'm out here in LA. And I was like, you in LA? And I hate that what this pandemic has done to us is in situations where we normally would be happy and excited to go and see someone, you then are concerned for your health. You know, I was concerned for her health. I'm like, you travel doing, it's surging right now. This is not a good time to travel. And now you're here. And now I feel bad because a part of me is excited that that she's here and I would like to see her. Then a part of me is like, I don't want to go out, you know, and be in an environment that the mayor and the governor is telling us we should stay home to avoid. And it's just, it's like, we're just so conflicted. I feel like this year has been, you know, I have just been mourning what life was for us, you know, how we could just go to the movies. And I used to go to movies so much. I just love the movies. And one of my friends who listened to the podcast was telling me that, you know, there is some movie theater that's open. And I don't know whether it's, going to be open now with the new restrictions, but it was open and it had like extreme social distancing, like, you know, only, you know, 4 to 6 people are allowed in a big theater. And I don't even know if I would be comfortable with that, because it's just like, the more you hear about coronavirus, the scarier it gets, because everybody's body really does react differently to the virus. You know, some people get it and they recover quickly and they're just fine. Other people get it and they have all these horrible, you know, symptoms like fevers and chills and body aches and can't sleep. And, you know, they're like in a daze. And then some people have where their symptoms continue on. Like some people still have to have oxygen tanks. Some people have brain fog, you know, which is like the perpetual daze. Like you're just not at your full capacity. And hearing all these things where you could potentially get the virus and then just never be quite the same, it's scary as shit. And we have, even in California, you have all these people who live in Orange County that don't want to wear a mask, that don't want to have any type of restrictions. Like, it's like, I feel like we're living in the Twilight Zone. It's literally the freaking Twilight Zone. Like, what is going on? Like, how is this happening? Like, I'm just going to keep it 100. I was already on the path to being a recluse anyway. I was already on that path. It was like, you know, 2013 happened, was the whole situation that I had, the dust up that I had with BET, and the whole situation from that and the lawsuit and this, that, and other just made me kind of just look at everything in a different light and kind of just pull myself back and just focus on, you know, the business of running lovebscott.com. And just like, you know, I don't know. It did something to me where I didn't want to share myself as much. In part due to that situation. And then as time went on, it just becomes, I was like, oh, cool. I can, you know, make good money and I don't have to be at so much visually at the forefront of what is happening with my brand. And I was like, okay, cool. And just when I was kind of thinking about, okay, cool, I'm gonna start doing videos again or blah, 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 the pandemic hits. And now it's like, I'm telling you, it has made me into like, I feel like I'm somewhere like hiding in the shadows. Like, I'm literally, if you want to find B. Scott is in the shadows. Like I don't really meet up with many people. I have like, you know, I just have, it's anxiety now. Like I'm just like, this year has already been difficult enough. Like I do not need Miss Rona in my life. And you don't know how your body is going to respond to it because everybody's body is different. And just because you have a friend or a family member that totally recovered and like it was nothing does not mean that's going to be your story. And that's what I'm trying to say. And so, you know, it's a surreal time. Everything is just surreal. Like I feel like for a lot of us, we are feeling this kind of like, I'm exhausted by this year. But I really haven't done anything but been in my personal space. You know what I mean? It's like I haven't really been doing that much to physically feel as exhausted as I am. I think it's just because my mind and spirit is so exhausted that my body feels that way. Like I literally be like, damn, my back hurt. And I haven't done anything.
Yep.
Like getting out of bed, like, oh, shoot. And I think it just might be also because of the lack of activity. I've been trying to do these at home workouts, and it's hard to do at home workouts. So I just kind of just been like, now my thing is like trying to go on walks in areas where I feel like there's not going to be a lot of people. So I'll go and drive my car and park it somewhere. And then I'll look around like, I look like there's not a lot of people. I can go for a walk. That is my life. That is my life. And I recently got an Apple Watch because I don't like wearing watches, but I got the Apple Watch because it has this oxygen thing on it where it takes your oxygen level. And I just figured that if something were to go far south with me in regards to Rona or whatever, like my oxygen level would drop and maybe the watch would catch it.
Oh my God.
And call 911. You know what I'm saying? That's where we live. You know, it got me from being a person that I would never wear a watch at all to now I have this thing on me like it did, my life depends upon it. And Apple knew what they were doing too. They knew if they added, they came out with some like oxygen reading level technology that everybody would get it because we're living in fucking fear. So yeah, that's where we are. That's what's going on. You know, I have a friend in town and I'm excited that she's here, but I'm afraid to go see her. I am, you know, dealing with all the other things that you Love Muffins are dealing with, you know, just like, just concern for everybody. Like, I just really want everybody to be okay. And it's really frustrating when you see people that feel like, for, I just don't understand the whole concept of not wearing a mask. Like, I don't understand. Like, you know, it's just like, does it, would it kill you to put a mask on? I hate the politicalization of it all and how everything has become like, you know, if you do this, you're Republican. If you do this, you're liberal. And like, what about just being American? I think wearing a mask is you being an American. You're trying to make sure that people who may not have a good response to the coronavirus would be okay. And I think about my mother. I think about, you know, my friends, my family. Like, I don't want anything bad to happen. So even if I didn't necessarily want to wear a mask, and I don't, no one wants to wear a mask, I would wear it just out of concern for others. And I think in this country, there's such a lack of empathy for other people. I have been really trying this year to be more empathetic. I've tried to, you know, work towards a place of being more forgiving and understanding and trying to not take things so personally, even though it's hard. I still do stand by the fact of like, well, if I'm not interacting with you on a certain level right now, I mean, I just don't know what we have. Or I do, and you're just an associate or a person I know, you know? And that's nothing wrong with that. There's no tea, no shade. I just feel like this time period has really illuminated a lot of situations, regardless of, you know, what they're going through, what you're going through. Because, you know, at the end of the day, we're all going through shit. Like, all of us and everybody has their shit. They have the shit that they talk about and they have the shit that they don't talk about. And we all have various different things going on. But at the end of the day, like, you can't help but to notice who you interact with and who you don't. And it doesn't mean that you have to hold a grudge. It doesn't mean that you have to be upset. It doesn't mean that you have to be vindictive. It doesn't mean you have to be passive aggressive with it. It just means that it is what it is. You know, it is what it is. If people are not in your life right now, during the worst year for many Americans and many people in the world, then there you have it. They're just not in your life. It's kind of like the guy I was talking to was like, you know, you everywhere but here for me. You know, and if you're not here, I don't know what to say. You know, like, there is nothing really to talk about. And I do believe there's a world where you can acknowledge, you know, the reality of situations and your relationships and your friendships, as well as also being forgiving to those people for being, or forgiving to yourself or whatever the case may be, for it is being, you know, it is being what it is. Like, if that makes sense. I just feel like you know, I've seen various different memes online about people, you know, there's like some people who are like, you know, if you ain't in my life, fuck you. And there's other memes saying like, you know, don't make it about you. Everyone's going through shit. And I think there's a happy medium in the middle. Like you can, yes, you should not be saying to people who are not, for whatever reason in your life necessarily, fuck you. You know, that because they are going through things. But at the same time, you can't help but to acknowledge the fact that they're just not in your life. Like, okay. You know, it's like some people, like, how do you pick up after a situation like this? I don't know if there is a pickup, you know, or if the pickup would be meaningful. Like, you kind of have to, like, this year, it really has been, for a lot of people, their worst. And there is a saying, like, you know, if you want to be with me at my best, you have to be with me through my worst. Or, I don't think people even would understand the people who I have not connected with or people who have not connected with me during this time. I don't think they would even understand. We wouldn't even understand each other because they have been through some shit. I have been through some shit. And now I've become a different fucking person. I feel like this year has changed, like, it's changed me fundamentally. I just don't think I'm the same bitch. I'm not the same bitch. Like, I'm like, you know, it's definitely that. Everything is like a, you know, a push for me right now. It's like a push. Like, I have to push myself to do the things that I used to do, you know, so effortlessly. And I just think that, you know, this year I've just been mourning what was. Like, you know, the year before I was, you know, hopping on planes every other day and, you know, mingling with my friends all over, going to Miami and Maui and, you know, going to Punta Mita in Mexico. I was like, we're having all these moments, just living, going to the movies all the time, going to the Grove, like, you know, just being festive. Just festive. And now I just am frustrated. From festive to fucking frustrated. And then, you know, what's also so frustrating is that people are literally, like I mentioned in the last episode, they are just like, you know, all getting the Groupon and going to Tulum or Cabo or any of that. Like, the people are traveling as if, like, so, like, I'm in here in the house like a motherfucking recluse. That's so, like, I'm listening to everything they're saying and how I need to stay in the house and protect myself and protect others and wear my mask and it's not safe to do this, that, and the other. And then when I look at my Instagram IG stories, people are busting it open. Just busting it. Just, like, literally going, traveling everywhere, like, back to back to back. Like, there are people that I have seen before that was traveling nowhere. They were going absolutely nowhere motherfucking fast. Like, nowhere. Never see them traveling. But baby, when I tell you they getting them $5 tickets. But baby, when I tell you they getting those $5 tickets and they are hitting it. Like my daddy used to say, they had a handful of Greyhound. Back in the day, when you wanted to get out of Dodge, when you wanted to leave, you would, you know, it won't really that much flying. In certain parts of the country. And, you know, when you're from the South and from the country, you get on a Greyhound bus. And so you would get a hand. My daddy said, and then, you know, such and such got a handful of Greyhound and they hit it. Well, baby, people are getting a handful of, I don't know, where the Spirit. They own Spirit. They own JetBlue. They own something. They are hitting it. Honey. And when I tell you, I've been looking at those planes and most of the planes got people packed up in there like sardines.
No, thank you.
Like, I thought they were going to have some type of social distancing. I thought they were going to have, like, you know, 50% capacity. No, they're in there like all seats are filled. When I tell you, if I was on a plane and that was going on, my anxiety will be like, it would go through the roof. It would go through the roof. Like, the only thing, not the only thing, but one of the things I look the most forward to each week is literally talking to my therapist. Like, I, when I tell you I look forward to it, I plan it. Like, that is a time each week that I don't ever want to miss. Like, I don't know what I was thinking before I was seeing a therapist weekly. I would see therapists, you know, periodically at different times in my life. But it was never to the extent of at least once a week. And now I'm thinking, shit, I might need to do twice a week. Like, I need to just, like, you know, shit. Can we talk every day? Because that's how fucking stressful this year has been. And I feel like for, you know, people of color, we just have such a, you know, such a stigma attached to talking to a therapist. I still have people and friends that I talk to like, no, I don't think I need to talk to a therapist. No, I don't, you know, I can handle it. No, you can't. No, you can't. You know, this year has been a lot to unpack. It's been a very, very challenging year. And I don't think that, like, you have to start talking to a therapist because it helps you, you know, start to gather skill sets, way of thinking, coping mechanisms that's going to help you go into next year. Like, this is not going to be like we're going to snap our fingers and it's going to instantaneously go away. I just don't believe that. And so we just have to, it's going to be a long period of things not being where it needs to be. And also just like what has already occurred. The government gave out literally $1,200 stimulus check way back when. And what the fuck is $1,200 going to do for most Americans when all their other bills and having to feed their families and everything is still going? Like, it's just, I just don't understand that. We're supposed to be the richest country on earth, but yet we don't take care of our people. So it's not just, you know, seeing a therapist, not just about, oh, you know, the future. It's about unpacking and dealing with the trauma that you have been through this year and before. And like I had said, you know, on previous podcasts, I feel like this year allowed me to slow down. And when I slowed down, all of the shit that was in my back room of darkness and I didn't want to deal with, it came out. It was like Pandora's motherfucking box. Pandora's box was like, oh, you slow down? Cool. Well, we opening up.
I'm going to reach way back.
I'm going to reach way back. All the things that I had been trying to push down and suppress and not think about, it just allowed it to come out. It's like, oh, it's safe now. We can come out to play. Literally. That laugh too. I tried to do it and then I started laughing. I just, you know, this has been so much. It's just so much. And then after dealing with so much, you look at the celebrity news and entertainment and it's some crazy, it's like, it's always crazier and crazier shit going on.
And that's all fucked up.
It's all fucked up. Tory Lanez just pled not guilty to Megan Thee Stallion shooting. And then juxtapose that to like 5 seconds later, he's in Mexico and he wants you to know. And he wants you to know he's having a good life. Like, I just want to know what exactly happened. Because even though I am always going to be on the side of women. I grew up in a household where my father was definitely not the man he needed to be. And my mother stepped up to be, you know, the father and the mother, as well as endured a lot of shit from my father that we all saw. So I was always in a position to be supportive of women because I support my mother because I was the one there and saw all that was going on for years. I will say that and I stand by that. In the Megan Thee Stallion situation, yes, I do stand by her. I do support her. If you've seen the platform, you see me on Instagram, I'm so freaking supportive. However, we want to know, because this is a public situation that they have talked about, and now it's a case, I want to know what happened. What exactly happened? Like, how can one, you know, like, it's just all of the things that doesn't, I mean, I want to know what's happening because he's saying he didn't do it. And she's saying he shot her deliberately in both of her feet. So where is the, what is happening? What's happening here?
That's no accident.
There's no accident, but I want to know what led up to it. I mean, what was it like what they said? I mean, there was one story out there that he said that, that they said that Tori started shooting at her feet and was telling her to dance, bitch. Yeah, I just think, is that, did that happen? Did he shoot, you know, in the air and it came back down? Because I'm just saying, like, the thing is, like, I just feel like if he, I mean, I don't understand how people get shot in the feet.
Both of them.
Both of the feet. Like, I mean, are you, I mean, it, I don't, I want to know, I just want to understand, have a better understanding of it, because I don't think he was, I mean, I have never heard of someone getting shot in the feet. You know what I mean? In the feet, like both of your feet, you've been shot upon us. And we have nothing else. Like we have, and then you see how she's not hanging out with her best friend anymore. And there was some type of story out saying that, that Tori and her, you know, something may have been going on or some type of flirting. And, you know, also the flirting with, you know, Kylie Jenner, and Megan was upset about it and everything kind of popped off. I just want to know the context. I mean, not to say that the context will give me any change, the right and wrong of it. I just want to have a better understanding of what the hell happened to cause you to get shot upon your feet. Like, what happened? I mean, that's weird. It's like, I mean, have you, I mean, I've been in this business. So like, you know, damn near, you know, 15, 20 years. And I have never heard of this. I have never heard somebody getting shot in the feet before. Like, you can get shot anywhere else. You can shoot you in your leg, shoot you in your stomach, shoot you. You know what I mean? Like, her being shot in the feet makes me think that, like, I don't think he was trying to kill her.
No.
Right? I don't think he was trying to kill her. I don't think he was trying. I felt like this situation and the situation that happened that EJ was speaking on, EJ was her stylist, and he was speaking on how he got into an altercation with one of the city girls. And Megan Thee Stallion was there, and it was Cardi B. I think it was Cardi B birthday party or celebration, some type of Cardi B something. And they were there, and everybody was faded. And then that's when he had his dust up with one of the city girls, with JT. But it just gives me an insight into people getting faded, people getting drunk, people maybe using drugs of some sort. And then that's when things go left. And I'm not saying that, oh, Tori is justified for things going left and he shot her in the foot. No, if he shot her in the feet and he deliberately shot her in the feet, that's wrong as hell, for sure. That's wrong as hell. But I am wanting to know and leaving the door open to having a better understanding from eyewitnesses and people in the situation as to what were the dynamics of the situation happening. Because it just doesn't add up. It's strange and it's bizarre, and it really does feel like it should be on Unsolved Mysteries. It should be a new episode of Unsolved Mysteries, which I love on Netflix. When I tell you, I be watching that, even though I already have anxiety and I'm like a scaredy pants, I be in here watching it by myself. I be like, ooh. And then, like, so they had some first episodes that I watched, and then they came out with some new ones. I said, ooh. And then one of the episodes was an episode about, like, how, and I think it was in Japan, and all of these people had died in a tsunami. And the people who have died in the tsunami was appearing at their relatives and other people's doors soaking wet because they couldn't make the transition to the afterlife or something. It was like, it's fascinating.
Oh, hell no.
And they would show, they would have the visuals, you know how they do their reenactments, and they like have the visual of the person there standing there drenched, just standing there. I was like, ooh. But it's good. So if you guys want to watch, you know, something kind of spooky, you know, at home by yourself. You watch, Unsolved Mysteries. But this should be an Unsolved Mystery because I just need to know. And I do not believe that asking and wanting to know exactly what happened before you, you know, ascertain an opinion about a situation does not mean that you're not believing Megan Thee Stallion or you don't support women. I do believe her that she was shot in the feet. I'm just trying to understand how that occurred. Because with any type of crime or any type of situation, intent does matter. That's why you have, you know, first degree, second degree, third degree. You know what I mean? Like that's why it's different in charges, because your intentions do matter. Okay. So like if Tory went to go get a gun and brought the gun back and specifically decided to shoot her upon the feet, that is premeditated, deliberate, you know, attempted murder, right? I would think so. It would be, you know, attempted assault, attempted murder, whatever the case may be. Because you can shoot somebody in the foot and they bleed out and die. Right? I mean, there's some big vessels and things going on down there. So it's just like that. I mean, it's like I have nowhere to turn this year. It's like either from dealing with the political craziness stuff to craziness stuff that you see on the internet. You know. And I know that, I mean, I see that Ray J and Princess Love, they back together, you know, Princess Love gave him his one wish. You know, Ray J had that song.
One wish.
Well, they back together. Wow. And at the end of the day, where is Princess Love going to go? Like, where's she going to go? She should have known the state of affairs when Ray J pushed her ass into the pool. Ray J pushed her ass into the pool. And that would have told me, if somebody pushed my ass into the pool and I'm done up in full hair and makeup and wardrobe and they push me in the pool, that tells me everything that I need to know about that person. So if you then go and have two kids by him, that is on you. And speaking of things being on you, I do not like the fact that Twitter added a button or these fake as Instagram story-esque type of things to Twitter. I do not want Twitter looking like Instagram.
Yes, no, please.
It's a no. Like, you trying to give... Twitter is trying to give us everything but the right or the option to edit our tweets. That's what we fucking asked for. I want to edit my tweets. I want to be able to... I hate the fact that I can tweet something or I have to change a title or something and I have to delete the whole motherfucking tweet. To tweak it. Like, that's not, I mean, I didn't ask you for a story option. I don't care. I don't want to see, I actually don't want to see what my people on Twitter is more like newsy. It's a whole different vibe. I don't necessarily want to get too, you know what I mean? I don't want to get too necessarily visual. I want to read. I like reading. Twitter is like good for reading and article links. Is that right?
Yeah, it's just more streamlined. That's what we go there for.
Yeah. I don't want all of this, you know, confusion going on. And Instagram adding reels, which is like Snapchat and pushing that down our throats. And then now it has turned into a shopping platform.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I don't know how I end up always getting on a shop page. Like, what? I did not click on this. I did not sign up to be on a shop page. And it's not just like, it's all these different things they put on one page that they want you to buy. Like, I don't know what's happening through the platforms. I really don't. The state of affairs is not where it needs to be with the platforms. And for Instagram, for example, like Twitter, I'm asking for a button to edit the photos. That's all I want to do is edit my tweets, right? On Twitter, I want to edit my tweets. On Instagram, I want things to be presented to me in chronological order. I do not want them to show me what they think I should see first. I want to see first the people who I followed and when they posted it. That's all I want to see. But they switch how you see things for, you know, according to however they want to do it. And that's not fair. Like I want to see the content from the people I follow in chronological order. That's all I ask for.
Yeah, they don't do that.
No, because they want you to pay to be able to reach your own audience. They want to, it's a way that they can manipulate you. It's all manipulation.
Are you on TikTok?
I am on TikTok, but I don't TikTok. There's no TikToking. Maybe I will TikTok, but I don't know. TikTok is just, it's just so much energy.
It's just another thing to do, right?
It's another thing to do. And it requires so much energy. It's so much. It's so much, you know, all the dancing and stuff. Like I did that. I did that 15 years ago. You know, if y'all want to see me dance, go back and watch my feedback video on YouTube. I danced. I did Kiss Kiss. You know, that's when I was feeling like dancing. I don't feel like dancing no more.
Not this year.
I ain't learning no challenges. It ain't going to be no challenges right now. No. And if I do a challenge, I'm going to do my own challenge. I've done enough shit where I can start my own challenge. Like, you know, do the pawpaw challenge. Let's do, you know, I don't know. We have to figure out, bring back the feedback challenge. Let's do it. Put on a sexy outfit and get it popping. No, I don't do TikTok. I don't. There's so many things. There's just a Twitch now. I just can't keep up. I barely want to be on the platforms that I'm on. It's so much fakery. Social media lacks originality. Like when I first got on social media, it was fun. Like I wasn't paying attention to nobody and what they were doing. I was just being myself and just doing my thing. Now it's like you can just see that people come into social media specifically trying to be like somebody else. And you see that over and over and over and over and over and over. And like they don't understand that it's not going to work out for you because there's literally now, you know, when you look at one particular thing, Instagram shows you similar versions of that particular thing. And so now you can see the similar versions of all the different things that people have been programmed to try to present themselves to be like. And that to me is not, I'm not interested. I'm not interested in anything where I have to be just like somebody else. But for a lot of people, that works for them. A lot of people have made money off of that. A lot of people, but I don't want to live, you know, my life like that.
Well, you started off as a blogger, right?
Yeah, I started, you know, in 2005, I moved here and I started blogging. Yep. Blogging came first. Yeah, I was blogging. And then I started doing YouTube in 2007.
That's like the earliest form of social media in some ways.
For sure. Yeah. MySpace. And before that, it was forums and, you know, blog spots and chat rooms and all that. You know, and not to say like, you know, I don't want to be one of the people like, oh, the good old days. But I mean, I think the lack of creativity is the correct critique. Mm-hmm. It is definitely something that I feel like is very pervasive. Like people are not coming into things thinking about this youth or not. It's very obvious. They're not coming in and thinking how I can be unique. They're coming in and thinking how I can be like other people, how I can fit in, how I can look like these filters. And I mean, people can see that with what I do. Like, it's just like, you know, if people, at the end of the day, when all said and done, originators always rise to the top. You can always tell when someone, you know, you can always tell a copy from an original. Just because an original can't help themselves. Like they just think differently and will be, for better or for worse, that's how originality works. It's hard to kind of like, you know, and if I can't, I often type in the type of person, like if I can't come into a space and be myself, then I don't want to be in that space anymore. And in some situations, that's how I feel. I'm like, it's just like, it's whack. Like, you know, like I see a lot of things that I used to do and people are doing what I used to do now. And I'm just like, oh, okay. And it's not like even like a, I don't even feel any type of way because I don't want to do it anymore. If that makes sense. You know, like, it's not like I'm like, okay, do it. You know, go you.
You already did that and got it out of your system.
I already did that, done that. Don't want to do anymore. I kind of feel like, shit, the more I think about it, over the years, I relate more and more to Whitney Houston. When Whitney Houston said, I just want to go to Bahamas and open up a fruit stand, the older I get, the more I relate to that. She basically was saying that statement. She just wants to go somewhere and have a simple life. She wants to go somewhere and not be famous. She wants to go somewhere and just chill the fuck out. And I can relate to that. Because, I mean, honestly, if you think about it and you look at it, a lot of the celebrities that we talk about and stuff, like, you know, people build you up to throw you away. Like, you spend all this time, you know, building this name, building this name and building all these, you know, accumulating all these assets and things that you then have to continue working for until the day you die. For what? And I think that is something that everyone thinks about and contemplates when you are in the showbiz industry. I mean, like, what is really real? What are you really, you know, working so hard for? And people pass away and then people keep it moving. It was like, okay, they, you know, you see the memes one day and people posting photos and stuff and they pass away. And then like the next day or a couple of days after is a wrap. And people move on as they should. I mean, that's life. But at the same time, like, you start to evaluate, like, you know, what am I doing it for? Why am I doing it? Why am I, you know, trying to be whatever? You know, like, I think we all have to ask ourselves that. Like, why are you doing what you're doing? Is it really for you? Is it really what you want to do with your time and your life and your journey? Because we all have a journey. And I feel like social media and, you know, what we see on a daily basis makes us feel that other people's journey should be our journey. And it shouldn't. What you see on social media is exactly that. What you see on social media. How you live your life on a day-to-day basis is something you should determine for yourself. And you don't know how other people are living or what they're dealing with that you see on social media. And I feel like that's what I hate, is just like, you know, the lack of creativity is just getting people to try to be something that they're not, that doesn't even really mean anything. But anyway, I don't mean to get too philosophical on the podcast, but I'm just saying that, like, you know, the state of affairs is just like, you look at these different headlines and you're just like, what is happening? Like, let me see else, something else I wanted to see that I want to talk about. I mean, Larissa Pippen. Okay, let me say this about this. Okay, Larissa, and you know, thing, and I like Larissa. You know, on my last Instagram, there's my Love Be Scott that, you know, was taken down and then it didn't quite come back. I mean, I have the name, but not the followers. And now I'm on B Scott. But on Love Be Scott, me and Larissa would talk and, you know, DM each other and stuff like that. And we were very pleasant to each other and supportive. But Larissa, in recent days, I guess she has fallen out with the Kardashians. And she has decided to kind of like illuminate a lot, some situations that they were, that she was in. So basically she had said that she was dating Tristan or interacting with him before Khloe was interacting with him. She was talking about how the whole family is brainwashed by Kanye. She also started talking about how she, you know, she started talking about how she was talking to Future. And, you know, I just don't like, sometimes when people do things, you just wonder what their motives are. And for me, I just feel like, you know, Larissa, she has money. She's the ex-wife of Scottie Pippen. Like, I don't understand what she wants to get from now coming out and revealing things about situations and a family that you were, you know, allegedly and supposedly so close to. I don't respect that. I don't respect that. I don't respect, you know, it's different from telling your side of a story that of a situation where it was just like crazy detrimental to you or something happened to you and you have to speak out. That's one thing. And I feel like people should speak out on those type of situations all the time and every time something happens to you. But when it's something where you just telling information that we didn't, you know, we didn't really need to know that. We didn't need to know that she talked to Tristan before Khloe. We didn't need to know that Kanye West is brainwashing the family, quote unquote, allegedly brainwashing the family. because we didn't need to know it. It's not pertinent information. And it just also just reveals, it's more revealing as to who you are as opposed to who they are. I am not a believer in just because you are no longer friends with someone, you go and tell all of their business. I don't believe that. If some of their business that you want to tell is that they have misrepresented you or certain things specifically that you want to address that they had said that's not true and inaccurate, by all means. But if you're just talking to be talking and giving us extra information, I don't need that. I don't respect that. And that's why I'm not really close to that many people on a certain level, is because people will tell your damn business. And that's why it's good to have a therapist that's legally bound not to tell your business, because people will tell your business. If you have something that you don't want to be told, don't tell anyone. And I just feel like, you know, it's just like a lot of situations, like, and this hasn't been major news lately. It's been like kind of like irritating news. Like 50 Cent is irritating, you know, the whole situation. He tried it, you know, recently he tried to clarify, you know, his support or his seemingly his support of Trump. He said he turned down $1 million to go to inauguration 2017. And he just was trying to just say like, no, I ain't really with it like that. But you should never have posted that. This is irritating. So if you're not with it, why are you posting something that makes it seem like you with and support Trump? The last thing we need. People like 50 Cent and Ice Cube and Lil Wayne, they all contributed to, and Kanye, they all contributed to the increase that we saw in Black men voting for Trump. And Obama said that. Obama did a recent interview and he said he believes that rappers contributed to the increase of Black men voting for Trump. Obama said that. Little baby Jesus Obama.
Baby Jesus. Where did that
little
come
baby
from?
Jesus. I don't know.
Oh my God. He reached on that one.
Baby in the Jesus. Manger. Little okay. Baby Jesus Obama that's in the manger. Oh my goodness, I'm going through the headlines. See anything else? I see that, you know, Scooter Braun sold Taylor Swift's Big Machine Masters for over $300 million. Taylor Swift speaks out and said that those masters was never for sale to her, and that the equity company that bought it for $300 million reached out to her to have her partner with them to support the masters. And she read the terms of the deal, and a part of their deal with Scooter Braun would be that he will continue to benefit from those masters for the foreseeable future. And that is something that she could not partake in. And she also informed them that she is going to re-sing and re-record all of her albums, which I think that is actually kind of cool.
Yeah.
It would be cool for people to hear her new take on classic songs. But it also shows you how the music business, you know, I know a lot of my listeners may not like Taylor Swift for whatever reason, but just on the level of in the music business, and many people have talked about this, whether it's Prince, Michael Jackson, and the list goes on, or Kanye recently. These record labels and contracts and stuff are just, it's like slavery almost. It's like you become like an indentured servant, slave to the record label. And it's your work. It's your, you know, Taylor Swift wrote these songs. She sung these songs and she doesn't own the masters to these songs. And there's a reason why these songs and this whole situation is called masters, because it's a slave situation, right? Doesn't that feel that way? Master.
Damn.
You know, you had somebody, the record company owns your masters. Nice. That's how you know it's slavery. That's how that name came about, is that they own you. They're trying to tell you, we own the most important part of your career. We own your money-making mechanism. And I just think that is just really distasteful. It shows you how, you know, Scooter Braun ain't really shit, because at the end of the day, why didn't you come directly to Taylor Swift and try to sell her the masters? Because Taylor Swift has $300 million. Let's be clear. That girl got coins. So they could have figured out some type of situation where she could have her own masters. Like, you know what I mean? It's very not even passive aggressive. It's just this fucking disrespectful. So now some random equity company owns her masters and she's still in a position to have to re-record them all. I think it is whack. You know, another case of whackness. And then I see Candace Owens. You know, I don't get Candace Owens. I almost didn't say anything about it because I just don't want to give her attention. But like, Candace Owens, like, I hate people who exist just for the sake of representing or just being an annoyance. She's like the black version of that Ann Coulter girl, right? It's the same thing. It's like you're irritating. Like, and she's criticizing Harry Styles for his attire in a Vogue fashion, you know, in a Vogue shoot, and was calling him, you know, cross-dressing and all this other stuff and just being totally out of pocket. Like, I'm just like, I'm tired of what happens is it also comes from this culture. It's like people, the social media culture and this pop culture era that we live in, it gives people like Candace Owens, you know, she rises because she is just, she's coming in to be the antithesis to everything that most of the people of her community represent and are for. That's the only reason she's doing it. And she's doing it to make money. She's doing it because she didn't see any other way to stand out. And that's how, I mean, it's so obvious to me. It's so obvious to me that she's doing this because she has no other option. This is something that she's doing and sticking to, and it brings her attention. And I guess in some ways, you know, is a revenue stream. But it's just, you know, it's just unfortunate to kind of continue to see random, annoying things. And I do believe that this year is taking the wrong people. Like, this year is taking the wrong people and trying to take the wrong people. Sinbad is recovering from a stroke. I said, no, not Sinbad. He's one of the comedians I actually really like.
I love him.
He's actually really funny. I just saw on the, I'm scrolling through the post on the site, and then it says Megan Thee Stallion claims that Tory offered her money to keep quiet. I believe that. I definitely believe that, because it was a situation that wasn't ideal. And, you know, I don't think anybody, well, I don't think necessarily at first nobody wanted to get out. But I think as the dust settled and Megan was like, I got shot in the foot, like, the project, you know, charges need to be pressed. And I didn't even really watch the People's Choice Awards. Like, they be having these awards and giving awards for no real reasons. Like, ain't nothing even really freaking happened this year, and y'all still having awards.
Yeah, that was hard to watch.
Right? Isn't it like that? It's like, ain't nobody, I don't think nobody should be getting no awards this year. We don't need no award show. I don't need to see the same people get the same awards for the same shit, even though ain't nothing happened. Ain't nothing really happened this year. Like, they giving awards out for the years, you know, like just random evergreen awards, you know, fashion icon awards, and, you know, just, you know, Tyler Perry got the People's Champion Award. And
what the hell is that?
And Jennifer Lopez got an award. And, like, you know what I mean? Just like, it's just random. Not that I have anything against any other people. It's just like, it's random. Like, why, you know, we don't need you to be, we don't need a, awards ain't going to make us feel better. New content will make us feel better. And people have been asking me how I been feeling, or how I feel. I'm going to answer this right now so I can clear it up. People have been asking me how I feel about the whole situation that happened on Potomac between Candace and Monique, and whose side. Am I team Monique or am I team Candace? And I do have to say I am team Monique. I am team Monique in this situation, because I feel that somebody can push you to a limit that, you know, you just kind of, you do blackout, and you may not be proud of the result that happened, you know, when you come to from the blackout, but that does not mean that you were not provoked. And I do believe that Candace, she was saying a lot of stuff. She was doing, you know, hand stuff, you know, we've already covered this in previous podcasts. I don't like when people do hand stuff to me, or like in my, you know, or any of that, any type of aggressive behavior in my vicinity, which includes raising your voice at me, can cause you problems, put it that way. And I do not believe that being an adult is being able to tolerate someone berating you and yelling at you for an extended period of time. I don't agree. I don't know who set these rules up, but I don't agree, because I feel that is aggression. If somebody comes right now into my space and starts yelling at me, starts gesturing at me, 100%, that would be a problem. You know, and I think that it just, things escalate, and you have to take ownership for, Candace has to take ownership, and she probably already has, take ownership for how she tried to escalate the situation. And let's not forget how she had a knife in her hand when she had a verbal altercation with Ashley. And Ashley provided a statement to help Monique in her case, because that's that same type of aggressive behavior. I don't like people who throw rocks and then try to hide their hands. And Candace strikes me as that type of person. Because I tell you this, and I'm very clear about it. If you get up to somebody's face and you're saying certain things to them, and you are gesturing in a certain way as if you want your ass whooped, you just might get it. I'm not saying that it is right for a person to lose their cool and beat somebody's ass. But I am saying I understand it, because I'm that type of person. I'm sorry. I'm just telling y'all, Love Muffins. If you ever hear about somebody getting up in my face and yelling at me and putting their finger in my face, it could go a number of ways, depending upon how I feel that day. And depending upon how much Jesus is currently present in me that day. It depends on what level of Jesus that's in my spirit. It just depends. You know, if it's a little bit of Jesus, I might get the click clacking. But if I had just got, you know, if I got like set, like I think the threshold would be, honestly, it would have to be about 75% Jesus for me not.
That's a lot of Jesus.
Yeah, because I'm very much that person. If you get to talk loud to me and you put your hand in my face, it's very likely I'm going to grab your hand. If you start moving that hand around, it's very likely I'm going to hit that hand. I'm going to probably tell you, get your hand out my face. I give you one warning. If that hand remains in my face, or if you still are in my space being aggressive. And let me tell you this too. I had to go back and watch the clip. I don't, like, just you yelling in my space at me is enough. I mean, I don't know. And maybe you Love Muffins can tell me. I don't know what y'all consider to be aggressive, but yelling at me and yelling loud is aggressive behavior to me. And that means that if I'm being aggressed, that means that I can respond in any, you know what I mean? It just depends, like I said, on my Jesus level. Because if I'm having a bad day and Jesus is not really present in me that day, and you come over here yelling at me and being disrespectful and saying things that you know are hitting spots with me, oh yeah, I might give you a Monique special. I might give you a Monique special. And then regardless of if the actions were going, you know, kind of escalating a little bit, if you throw wine on me or hit me with a glass, that takes a situation that was already headed the wrong way. It takes it to a bazillion thousand next level. That means, yes, I'm probably going to then grab you by the head, slam you down on the table and keep doing that, rinse and repeat, like take you up. Like that means like, it looked like, It looked like Monique was baptizing her. Like she was baptizing her on that table, baby. You know how they do, they flush you down and pull you back up and hit you. And then, you know what I mean? It's just, I just think that you, people become very accustomed to running their mouth without repercussion. And they do that because they have security on these shows. And I'm just telling you, you have to be responsible for your hands. Yes, you do. But you also have to be responsible for your mouth. There's both of these things you have to be responsible for, because your mouth can cut deeper than a hand ever could. So people trying to make it seem like there's some type of code where, you know, you get to say everything you want to say. You get to yell at me. You get to say every God awful thing. And I don't get, you know, and I'm going to be judged if my hands get to clacking on you. I'm not sure about that. I'm just not sure. I think if the moment you decide that you want to raise your voice and get aggressive verbally and in somebody's personal space is the moment you should also understand that it could go a very different way if you're not careful. And that's how I feel. All right. And that's all I got. I just noticed that we are over an hour. Love Muffins. I love coming here and talking to you. It's like, it's become a combination of fellowshipping, venting, you know, celebrity news, tidbits. I really appreciate you. I thank you for listening to me. I thank you for your support. I thank you for also following me on my IG at B Scott. It has grown tremendously. And also visiting lovebscott.com. The best is yet to come. We have to keep pushing. I know that a lot of you are having a difficult time, just like I am, and a lot of the things I describe. But we have to give ourselves chances for things to get better. You have to give yourself that chance. And I am giving myself that chance, and I hope you do the same. And until next time, double kisses. Mwah, mwah. Bye-bye. Thank you so much for listening to The B Scott Show. You can find me on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube at Love B Scott. And make sure you review the show on iTunes. And you can always find me on lovebscott.com.